all of these perceptions, whether we're talking about premonitions or after-death communications or near-death experiences or the type of mediumship controlled remote viewing, they are all what we call non-local perceptions, meaning that they're sensory perceptions. They're things that seem as real as any other experience, but, you know, obviously they're coming to us through non-ordinary means. And, you know, so the first part of my career, I would say the first 5 or 6 years, I documented and published in American Medical Association's journals that the near-death experience was real. And then the next part of my career, the next 5 or 6 years, were spent documenting that very specific areas of the brain allow us to have these experiences. And then now you can understand my interest in controlled remote viewing, because that's the one perception, the one non-local perception. It's mediated by the same brain pathways, et cetera, but it's the same, it's the one that then we can, you know, open the envelope and we can say, aha, you know, in fact, that perception was real. And if I'm able to, you know, my wife and I, we work as a team, and if someone like Paul Smith can give me a number, and, you know, he mails me the number, and we can work the target and accurately describe, and, you know, we have to commit ourselves in writing and then with sketching, sketch that target, then there is no doubt in my mind that a premonition of, you know, that the premonitions that your daughter had are real, that the communications that you have with your husband who died are real. They're all, you know, because they're all mediated by the same brain pathways, they're all under the umbrella of non-local perceptions.
Okay, text message in from Sam in Burbank, California. Wants to know if you've had cases of people who have had near-death experiences. They come back, but they never said anything about the other side. It's like it's empty. Has that ever happened?
Oh, sure. I mean, I actually said it's one of the most common experiences, because these are not really after-death experiences. I mean, these are either the patient is dead, but they're only dead for, you know, seconds,
right.
Or, you know, or they're as close to death as you can possibly get and be resuscitated. You know, and that's kind of an intellectual point that, you know, I don't want to get into. But they're not, you know, these are not people, you know, they're talking about what happens in the process of dying, this, you know, being drawn out of the physical body, this merging with this spiritual light. Well, I like the way children describe it. You know, they say, you know, that this, you know, it's a light that had a lot of good things in it. Or, you know, this one guy says to me, that was weird. You guys just sucked me out of my body and put me into a light. And then, you know, and then and part of this, you know, this is a spiritual experience, and it's very personal. When we studied these experiences in Japan, Japanese children told us, you know, that they came to the edge of the water. You know, there's a lot of, you know, boundaries like that, since Japan is a, you know, is an island. They had a lot of butterflies. We studied near-death experiences in Africa. We heard about people being in gourds and, you know, walking through paths in the jungle. And then they're often given a decision to return. But I'm not aware, really, that these are then, you know, afterwards. So how come people have this sense of emptiness? Well, the most common reason is, since the experience is dependent, you know, I looked at, you know, these long, complex resuscitations, then you have these really long, complex experiences. Well, most people, very quick resuscitation, they're just entered into the darkness. And so they're mistaking that for the entire experience. This one guy says to me, well, you know, I never saw any God. I just rose out of my body and I was plunged into darkness. Does that mean I was in hell? Well, I looked at his medical records. He was only resuscitated for like 3 seconds. His heart stopped beating and they restarted him. Well, so he just had the beginnings of the experience. And then I think that for the other people, they're just misunderstanding that, you know, it's not the, you know, this is not the entire experience. This isn't what happens to us after we die. So, of course, you know, of course, we don't know, you know, and children particularly. You know, they don't pretend to know. You know, adults, of course, write these, you know, 200-page books.
Yeah,
but most
absolutely.
Of that is their, you know, is their guesses, their best guess. You know, that's the incorporation of their own religious beliefs into the experience.
Well, I was going to say, don't you think their religious beliefs or what they've been taught affects them from their near-death experience? It kind of dilutes what really was happening, maybe?
Oh, absolutely, because we don't hear that. You want to know the most common thing that children tell me? They say the experience is weird.
Yeah.
That's the number one. They go, yeah, it was really weird.
And how honest can they get? You know?
See, they don't know what happens to them. A lot of times they'll just go, you know, I was like in this tunnel and I was going somewhere and I don't know why.